Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. The title of my message is To Spank or Not to Spank. Right now, people are going, oh boy. Listen, if you're saying, well, I don't have children, and so this study isn't going to apply to me. Well, it does apply to you because we are living in a day and an age where God's Word, the Bible, is being cast off and cast aside, neglected, and people need to know, and parents need to have confidence as Christian parents in what God's Word says for them to do. And so you need to hear this message so that you can help those who are lacking clarity and confidence in this culture that we are living in presently. And so we read here in verse 18, and this is just one of the many. Otherwise, I'd have you turn it around all over the place in your Bibles. God's Word, this is God's Word in verse 18, chasten thy son, in the New King James, while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. In the Message, it says, discipline your children while you still have the chance. Indulging them destroys them. New American Standard, discipline thy son, seeing there is hope. And set not thy heart on his destruction. Amplified Bible. Discipline your son while there is hope, but do not indulge your angry resentments by undue chastisements and set yourself to his ruin. New Living Translation, and I like this. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Folks, you are not in a psychologist's office this morning, okay? Okay? You are not, in a room of people who have opinions and ideas and quote-unquote scholars and highly degreed educators necessarily. You see, that's not what we're looking for. That's not what I just read. It's not the opinions or the ideas of some man, some institution. It's not something that the culture is there to set for us as Christians. You see, these words are written to Bible-believing Christians. And by the way, God is not taking a poll as to whether you like or agree with what he says or not, okay? God's like, not I created heaven and earth, but could you guys, if you guys want to go with the flow, let's go. Let's get the majority. If the majority agrees, then I'm good. That's sure the prescription for disaster and chaos. What we have before us, what we are reading, is the Bible. Now, when I talk about just the topic, okay, the idea of spanking today, well, Pastor, you need to come into the O's. You need to come into the 21st century, you know. Things have changed and spanking is archaic and to be relegated to a different age and different time. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You see, spanking, certainly, when you talk about it, perks up people's ears. And there is much out there by way of opinions on this practice. I'd like to call it more what it is. It's termed biblical training or discipline. Now, in Bible times, guess what? the topics of child raising, along with a myriad of other Bible versus secular issues, were actually, well, non-issues. When you talked about spanking your child, they go, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. That's not the way it is today, in case you haven't noticed. The biblical scholars, those who read the Word of God in that day, took the Word of God at face value. And as Scripture was Scripture, and if anybody tried to redefine or reinterpret it, they were declared liars, because in Proverbs 30, in verses 5 and 6, it says, let a God be true and every man a what? A liar. So they didn't really care much about the opinions of men, because what really mattered was what God said. And anybody that tried to put away or confuse or make unclear or reinterpret what God said was considered a person who was, twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction, 2 Peter chapter 3:16 says. But today, the topic of biblical spanking has reached such a peak in debate and conversation, even among tragically Christians, that many fear putting into practice what God's Word clearly teaches, and they have sought to change what God's Word says to adjust it to their own idea of what biblical training and discipline is and is not, which isn't only spanking, but it includes other things. It's a lot broader than that. And by the way, just mental note, I lied. Okay? When I lie, I want to confess my lies. I said there was only one more study in parenting and that this was it. I lied. After studying, there's one more. Because in this issue of spanking, I think we need to talk about the practicality of how and when, and really nail it down, because it's such a hotbed topic. And there is abuse going on in the name of spanking. So I want us to be clear as Christians as to what the Bible teaches. So I'm going to deal with how practically this looks. But first, I want to challenge the idea that is out there from many in the liberal and all the liberal media outlets. You see, I don't know if you've noticed, but there is war that has been declared on God's Word. By way of print in the papers, by way of televisions and the opinion people and those who call themselves counselors to squash Christianity and our current biblical value system, trying to take and spin the Bible to be what they want it to be and what is more palatable to what their opinions and ideas are. Well, guess what? You've entered the no-spin zone. Because you know what? I wrestled with talking about this topic, because guess what? There's potential. There's potential, isn't there, for trouble? We are a litigious, sue-happy society. And people, love to get on the bandwagon there if somebody messes up and doesn't do, which is why I'm giving another study to it. I want us to be clear. But I do want us to be clear on God's Word. Because our religious freedoms and our, ability to preach the gospel is being slowly eroded by our culture and by our society. And your rights as parents are being threatened increasingly. Have you noticed that? Their idea and their their arrogance to say, you don't know what you're doing with your kid. We know. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, guess what? We're going to take those kids away from you. And that's out there, folks. Oh, it may not be portrayed like that initially in that clear of a tone, but it is headed that direction. You're too stupid to raise your kids right. And especially if you believe that Bible stuff. And listen, I want you to know what the Bible says. What is spanking and what is not spanking? It's essential that we understand exactly what it is and what it is not. To not thoroughly learn about this topic is to go against the Word of God, because God's Word clearly states, does it not, precious saint? Study, 2 Timothy 2:15, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the truth when it comes to this idea of raising children, disciplining children? A biblical spanking, or as the Bible calls it frequently in the King James Version, chastisement, is not, listen to this, it's not beating. It's kind of randomly beating a child. It is not hitting. It is not slapping. In fact, according to old Merriam-Webster, good old Merriam, definition, to strike on the buttocks. How's that for a definition? Pretty clear. Do you know there's an opposition to that? And those that oppose spanking biblically, those that oppose biblical training of your child, oppose it for a number of reasons. But the majority of those reasons are not, and listen to this, are not based on biblical understanding, but personal experiences, most of which, by the way, have been negative. And so without thorough and properly dividing the Word of God and simply connecting what proper biblical training is and distinguishing that from their negative experiences, there's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot being offered by way of contrary opinions. It's the same, is it not, when one comes to God and receives the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? And then on the heels of that, the person that gave the message and the results was that people responded and got saved and the Lord changed their life. But then the messenger down the road, he does something. He hurts them. He disappoints them. He sins. He blows it. He fails them. And what do? They automatically equate the messenger and the message and fail to separate the two. And then they begin to say, well, see, all Christians are all hypocrites. You've heard that, right? You've heard that. Just because somebody has failed, it discounts everything. One pastor accurately writes on this. He says, the people who condemn biblical chastisement do not believe the Bible. They judge others by their own experience. The only time they have hit their children or been tempted to was when they were angry. So they assume that when we spank, it's with the same hostility that they have felt. And to this, they add that the majority of people believe that spanking isn't appropriate. Because of that. Now, if as Christians we apply this same kind of reasoning to, let's say, other things, like evolution. Well, listen, guys, I I've always taught that God is the creator and that he's the one that put us here with plan and purpose. But you know what? Recently, more people believe in evolution and so they've reinterpreted the Bible and the scriptures to go along with that. So guess what? Because most people believe in evolution now, I'm no longer going to teach creation what the Bible says there because, well, it's outdated. What would you do? Hopefully you go, bye. See you later. Taking my tithe, taking my presence and my effort, and I'm leaving, dude. And so you should, if I ever do that. I've always said, you know what? Don't believe me because I say it. You better believe what God's Word says, and you better check out what I'm saying according to God's Word. I don't want you guys believing anything I say on my own merit or authority. You better make sure that what I'm teaching you is the Word of God. You better check it out for yourself. You can't afford not to. Okay? But you see, this whole idea of opinions, you know, it's the whole thing where, you know, most Christians should believe in evolution, not creation, because the majority, or we've got to change, which is what's happening in some churches today. Our idea about same-sex marriage, we've got to embrace that now. We're living in a different day and a different time, so we must reinterpret God's Word to go along with that time. Because the majority of people, you know, agree with same-sex marriage. Listen, I'm not going there either. If the majority of people believe in premarital sex, I'm not going there. If the majority of people believe it's okay to have an affair and commit adultery, and they call it an affair so it's sweet and nice sounding, guess what? We need to by all means to change then our definition and go along with them. Listen, if we do that, then we throw out the Bible and we throw out Jesus, and you might as well just make up a religion of your own, because that's what you're doing. You see, if you name the name of Christ, majority is not what matters. Only the Bible is our foundation. It's like the old hymn. Some of you know the lyrics. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The sands of man's ideas and philosophies and opinions that change and evolve constantly. God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, everything else will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You see, God's word is what we have for our foundation. It's the revelation of God's design and desire for our lives. And listen to this. The fact of the matter is the majority of opposition doesn't come from those to this idea of discipline and spanking. It does not come from those who are students of the Word. It comes, this opposition to spanking, to disciplining your children, it comes mostly from secular psychologists and child advocates, which are rarely biblical advocates. And there's a few liberal Christians mixed in there who oppose a lot of the conservative points of view that the Bible clearly teaches. And you can't afford to believe a man because he says it. I don't care who he is and how many degrees and where he stands, unless he stands on God's Word. You see, in other words, when people hold opinions and ideas, you better know the source. You better research the roots. Because there's an enemy out there. The Bible calls him Satan, a deceiver and a liar. Did you know that? And guess what? He's aligned with the world. He's aligned with the flesh. He's aligned with the secular humanistic religion and philosophy. And, well, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many that go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to heaven, and few there be therein that find it. Popular opinion? Listen, usually I kind of take a rule of thumb. If the popular opinion is to do one thing, chances are I'm going to go to the opposite thing. Because chances are the popular opinion is going to be unbiblical. Is that not true in most every situation that you know of? Not always, but mostly. You see, there is false research that really spanking causes harm. It's interesting to note that the large number of psychologists and analysts and the majority of those opposing spanking, what they do is they quote a lot of other psychologists and analysis to come to their conclusion. So it's kind of flawed, the research, you see. It falls into two categories, they call it. It's called meta-research and correlation-based research. Now, meta-research simply means that it is research based off others' research, which is flawed, isn't it? You're basing your research based just on what others have researched, and then how do you know that their research is accurate? So you got a problem there. The other is correlation-based research, and that's defined. This means that it is research based off others' experiences that pertain to the same topic in question. Let me give you an example of this correlation-based research. Here's the read. Here's the headline. The headline: studies find that bananas are actually not good for you. In fact, they can be deadly and dangerous to eat. That's the headline. Well, you know what? Wouldn't that grab your attention? Like, wow, I love bananas. Come on. Deadly, dangerous bananas? Then you read on. Once the headline's out, and it says, studies reveal that out of 100 of people who ate bananas, well, several have died. 14, of course, they tell you were allergic to the fruit. And 25 ate the banana peel with the banana, thereby causing a physical sickness that, if not treated, could be fatal. But the headline and the studies, the statistics reveal. But you see, that's not the reality, that's the read. It's the enemy of bananas who wants to sell their fruit. And that's the problem, folks. That's how this correlation-based research works. A large number of correlation-based statistics found that spanking was bad, harmful, and causes negative internal emotional damage, all constructed with that type of research. If you go to the source, what you do is you'll easily find that the majority of cases that they looked at where professionals cite these instances where spanking supposedly caused harm were not administered properly. And in most cases, the administration of the spanking or discipline was not what the Bible would define as discipline biblically, thereby making the spanking and their findings of none effect, really. They misuse the statistics. You see, misuse of a tool does not invalidate that tool, does it? I mean, let's say, for example, you have a power drill or a hammer, or you have a nail gun. I've heard of this when construction was big here back in the day. Guys with nail guns, the tool created for speed, man. You nailed, boom, 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 put that plywood in, just the air compressed, would lay that nail in there, getting rid of the repetitive motion of the hammer. Okay? However, I've heard of guys who take those nail guns, and instead of properly using them, they would point them at one another and fire them. Injury afflicted by the misuse of that tool. The way our society unfortunately reacts many times to this as well, since you guys are too stupid to actually follow directions and use them properly, we're going to make it so you can't use them improperly, or we're going to outlaw the tool. Isn't that what they do with guns? Because of a few people that use them improperly. They want to, let's get rid of them totally. That's nonsense. I mean, what if you applied that to toasters and blenders and garbage disposals and cars? How many people use cars improperly, get into an accident, and people die, and they say, okay, let's outlaw all cars because you guys don't know what you're doing. So we're going to take care of it. We're going to get rid of all cars. That is foolishness. That is folly. You see, opponents of the biblical use of the rod support their position by occasional misuse. Is that a good philosophy? Listen, it's not a stretch at all for me to suggest the reality that, you know what, some person in your life at one time or another misused their authority. Maybe it was a teacher at school. Maybe it was a policeman. Maybe it was a boss. And they abused their office by using their authority improperly. Would the solution to that problem be then to negate the legitimacy of that office and say, let's get rid of them? Rather than just the person who abused that position or that office? When the courts, for example, are unjust or dishonest because the judge is corrupt or has their own kind of agenda that they're setting forth, do we abolish all administrations of justice or judges because of the abuse of the authority of one? When a policeman, for example, and we've seen them. We've seen them on TV. We've seen the movies, the videos taken. And we see them actually abusing their authority, their position, and misproperly treating or extremely dealing with the situation. Do we say, that's it, get rid of all police officers because they're misusing their authority? How about if the President of the United States is hedonistic and sells favors, enriching himself through crooked deals? Do we say that's it? We need a dictatorship. Getting rid of all presidents. That's it. We're done. Or when state social workers molest children and abuse them, do we stop all social work? Or coaches? We've seen that in the news recently. These coaches that have abused tragically children, sexually molesting them. And listen, so there's a few of those. Does that mean we get rid of coaches across the board? Of course not. That's crazy. Might I suggest to you the same thing is true when it comes to disciplining your children and spanking them? One man says, rearing children in our materialistic and humanistic world demands more than a strong human resolve on the part of parents. It requires knowing and applying basic biblical principles. Of course, negative incentives are biblical, and spanking is taught specifically in the Scriptures. There are negatives and positives. There are spankings and pain. There are rewards and blessing, both taught in Scripture. We need to, however, be careful to avoid the extremes and avoid misusing what God has called us to do. What is that? Well, number one, it would be spanking out of frustration or anger. That should never happen. Ever, ever, never happen. The other one is to spank for every type of offense. Everything they do wrong. Spanking. Okay, that's it. Spanking. Okay, you sneezed and didn't have a tissue. Spanking. You know, you ate more than you should eat. Spanking. And everything spanking. That is an extreme as well. God has not said you must spank for every type of offense. Henry Morris's organization, Creationists, the CRI, Creation and Research Institute, he writes an article on this, and he says, many secular, and I'm quoting him, experts, including most pediatricians, psychiatrists, and psychologists, have come out strongly against the use of corporal discipline in homes and in schools. Unfortunately, many well-meaning parents have been deceived by the foolish advice of the don't spank crowd. It has been my personal experience, he goes on to say, that people who consider all forms of corporal discipline to be abuse or hitting or violence mislead others in the following ways. And then he goes on to list them. And number one, they often quote studies where actual abuse is occurring, not ones where biblical discipline, and that model has been followed, discipline out of love for that child. He says, secondly, they always ignore what their Creator has to say on the matter. They don't ever bring the Scriptures up that tell us how to do this. And they approach their Bible study, if they claim to be Christians, he says, on this matter of eisegesis, which means interpret the text according to your own ideas instead of exegesis. You see, there's much wrong teaching out there because people simply don't exegete the text of the Scriptures. They take a text out of context and they teach whatever they want. They make it say what they want. People, you cannot afford to do that. You see, the goal is not like some say, and I've said this over and over, but I'll say it over and over again because I never want you to forget it. It's not sitting in a group. Some people think Bible study is sitting in a circle, which I'm okay with that. And then we take a passage of Scripture and we read it, and then we go around the circle and say, I want you to tell me what that means to you. And they have some esoteric kind of meaning, and then it goes to the next person. So what's it mean to you? And they have some completely different esoteric meaning, and then it goes around the room, and everybody comes up with their own meaning, and we call that Bible study. That's not Bible study. You see, my goal as your pastor is that you take God's word and learn to look at a text in its context. Never pull a verse out of its context. Never pull a book out of its context. Oh, what we want to find out, and this is what exegesis is, we want to find out what Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, what's the background? What was going on in Corinth? What was going on in the church? What's the historical setting of that book being written? What was Paul addressing? How was he dealing with the problems in the church at that time? So we want to go back to the history, and then we want to bring it into our time and how it applies to us presently, because it does. But we can't, and this is what people, they want the quick, you know, meal and the fast food, and that's why so many Christians are sick. Because they don't take the time to exegete the text. They don't want the, oh, I don't want to hear what's a history, what's a history. It has everything to do with how you interpret the text. And it's got to be in its context. The verses have to be in their context. Otherwise, you can come up with all kinds of weird meanings. And that's what's happening in our society. Thus, you have all kinds of convoluted Bible interpretation in an attempt to try and force the few verses to support your philosophy or your ideas. Our study of God's Word is to find out what He said and what He means when He says what He says and how to apply it to our lives, not to try and force meaning on it. And then these people often, he goes on to say, place a higher value on secular studies, infallible doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists instead of obeying the advice of the infallible Word of God who created all of them. And who demands, by the way, that they do things His way. They almost like shake their fist. Who's you? Hey, we have a right, God, to do what we want. We're going to do our own thing and we don't care what you say. Yeah. Find out how that flies with your kids at 5 years old in your house when you tell them to do something and they shake their fist at you. I want to know what's going to happen when they shake their fist at you. We don't have to listen to you. We're going to believe what we believe and we're going to do what we're going to do. And if you don't like it, too bad. You're not the boss of me. I wonder what would happen if your five-year-old did that. God forbid that some of you go, okay, whatever you want to do, sweetie, have it your way. I don't want to fight. Oh, my goodness. But that's the way we are with God. We think that we have it right like that. That's how the secular, that's how the liberal crowd uses their strategy by loudly, boldly pumping their own ideas, you see, through the media, through the news and the TV, constantly pumping their philosophies and putting them at us to desensitize us to what God's Word says. And folks, we can't afford that. They play on your emotions. If they ever show somebody spanking, have you noticed? They show the abusive parent spanking. They don't show the whole context of it. They take a little excerpt out and just isolate it and show the act and it doesn't look good, you know, in the circumstances. And so they play on your sympathy you know, they continue to pump that at you. And of course, our emotions then are easily manipulated by the world and its perspective if we don't know God's Word and aren't confident, having our minds renewed by the teaching of what? God's Word, not by television. Listen, television wants to renew your thinking. They're coming at you, man, the new normal, the new normal. What kind of family is that? What kind of family is that? They're telling you in the title, oh, it's just a joke, Pastor. No, this is the new normal. You need to accept this. You need to embrace this. Of course, they get you to laugh at the idea at first. That's the way they always introduce it. They're out there. They're battling for the minds of people. They're battling for the minds of your children. We need to renew our minds. We need to have our brains washed. Where do we get them cleansed? The Bible. You need to learn to think rightly. You need not to follow your emotions and what you feel, you see, unless you are immersed in God's Word and led by God's Spirit. Some people are lost forever because believing Jesus Christ didn't feel right or seem right to them, seemed too narrow. Christians sometimes do blatant evil because they feel like it, or they feel that God made them so they or wants them to do it, or will make an exception for them so they think it's okay. Be careful. A bunch of people in Jonestown, you may remember, years ago, drank some Kool-Aid that killed them all because this charismatic guy said they were doing it for God. Don't buy that stuff. There are all kinds of people out there that are very convincing. They can say, well, if it feels good, it's got to be God doing it. That's not the fact, you see. Those that say it's abusive to spank a child contradict God's word. The real abuse to the child is not to spank them when they need correction. Dr. Bill Mayer, vice president and psychologist in residence with Focus on the Family, says this, and I quote, appropriate disciplinary spanking done in the context of a loving parent-child relationship is not abusive. He goes on to say, if it's done in a loving context, if it's followed by an explanation, there is no evidence that it would harm their self-esteem, he explains. In fact, we have some evidence that kids who grow up in an extremely permissive environment in which there are no boundaries, no limits, and no guidelines have a great deal of difficulty with their self-esteem, and particularly later on in life because they have such a sense of entitlement that basically the world owes them everything on a silver platter. Ever seen any kids like that? Maybe you're one of them. Dr. Mayer actually reports that the American College of Pediatrics agrees that disciplinary spanking of young children is actually an effective tool for parents. Of course, that article written some time ago, because I think today if a doctor came out and said that it was effective, even if he believed it, if he said it was effective, hey, there'd be such an uprising. We're going to ban this doctor, and there'd be a protest. They'd seek to drive him out of business. Isn't that what we've seen? Seeking to intimidate us, to beat us back so that we don't do what God's Word says to do. What does the Bible say about spanking? Pastor, you've only read one passage so far. What's up with you? So you're trying to make a case on one passage. No, I'm not. Not at all. Let me give you a few more. You got your pencil? Or your pen? Taking note. Write these down. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever refuses to spank his son hates him, but whoever loves his son disciplines him from early on. Proverbs 23:13, do not fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. I love that. You know what I love about that? Isn't that what the world foists on? It's almost like God said, I know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to, you know, how they're going to feel about this whole spanking thing. And people are going to say, if you do that, you're going to kill them. That says a couple things. Hey, when you spank them, and we'll look at this a little more in depth next week. When you spank them, they won't die. And your intent on spanking them should not be to kill them, by the way, okay? Okay? If you have any kind of inkling that you might feel like killing them, you should not be spanking them. You see, discipline is given in love, and when it brings pain to bear, it's not going to kill your child to spank them. So don't worry. It says verse 23 of Proverbs, or chapter 23, verse 14, spank him yourself, and you will save his soul from hell. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten or spank your son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Oh, he's crying. It's hard, man. I admit to you, I hated spanking my kids. I did not enjoy it at all. And I hated to hear them cry. Nobody likes that. Or you shouldn't. Listen, know that doing this saves their soul from hell. And don't let crying cause you to not do what God's called you to do. And do it while there's hope, because the time will come when it's too late. There's only a season that you have to impact your children. You get, as I said in the introduction, you better get off the couch. You better get up. You better get busy doing what God's called you to do. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you peace and he will bring delight for to your soul. Deuteronomy 8:5, think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Proverbs 29:15, a spanking and a warning produce wisdom, but an undisciplined child disgraces his mother. Proverbs 22:15, a foolishness, and this is the God's Word translation, foolishness is firmly attached to a child's heart. Spanking will remove it far from him. King James reads, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child and the rod of reproof will drive it from him, and I intend to send it. This is my own translation, a long ways. My intention is to send it away. I don't want my child to grow up to be a fool. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, the Lord disciplines everyone he loves. He severely disciplines everyone he accepts as his child. Hebrews 12, 8. But if you are without discipline, of which all have been made partakers, then you are illegitimate and you are not children. In other words, if God never disciplines you, guess what? You're not his child. Because God, those who he loves, those who are his children, those who name the name of Christ, he is going to discipline you when you get out of line. You see, we look at this and this whole thing of spanking, the threat, of course, and it's looming large out there, and I certainly understand it, and there is a certain amount of fear that it takes to move out in faith, but we need to stand, you see. In this country, our children are not children of the state. They are our children. Given to us as a gift by God, and we have a responsibility and a right to discipline them properly and raise them up in the things of the Lord, and that includes spanking. Why so many Christians, especially parents, do not see what is going on here in our society, in our culture, trying to remove us from that so that our children belong to them and they can make them into what they want to be. That is exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to raise godly children, to believe God's word, and to walk in God's ways. Listen, there is always going to be those out there who desperately seek to twist and turn and forcibly try to reshape God's word to fit their own personal opinions and lifestyles. We are here to please God. We are here to practice what God's word says, to follow the loving instruction that he has laid out, to bring it to bear on our own lives, and then the lives of our children. And so we should always strive to be obedient to God's call in our lives, to his plan. And he doesn't just speak and lay out these passages for us to ignore them and to set them aside. They are not relegated, these passages, to a particular time period or era. They still hold true today. There has been no scripture written to nullify or cancel these out. The Word of God is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, and we are to use it in our homes and preach it and practice it. The only real issue is whether or not you agree with what the Bible teaches. Whether you agree with what God has laid out here in his word or not. Because, friend, the Bible is not a coupon book given to take only the things that I'm going to rip this coupon. I like this promise. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to rip this part out. Oh, I like this. This sounds sweet. This goes along with me. I'm going to get what I want and make what I want out of this. That is not the fact. If we believe the Bible, Christian, at all, then we must believe the Bible for all. It applies to every one of us. Not one scripture wasted. Not one word misspoken. And it applies to our children we have a responsibility to raise them in the ways of the Lord. To include spanking. Now, how do you do this? Pastor, when you say spanking, I'm like, I'm afraid. I mean, do you know what CPS out there? Do you know all the things that are out there? I do. Do you know you could be sued and I could be sued? I do. But if I'm sued, if I'm ever sued, I just want to take my Bible into court. I'd love to read to all those jurors and the judge and all those lawyers what God's Word says and say, so here's what you're forbidding me to do, to follow Jesus and to be obedient to what He tells me to do in my home. I believe that day is fastly coming. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Governor Brown just signed a bill. Maybe it went without your attention. It's being protested, thank God, that if you are a licensed counselor or therapist in the state of California, you can no longer counsel somebody who is a homosexual out of that lifestyle. If you do, you risk losing your license. You know what the next step is? I won't be able to tell you it's sin without the threat of a lawsuit. Him signing that bill, you see, opens now any therapist to, if they do or even imply that they could or should change, then guess what? That therapist can be sued by that guy he's counseling. And that's it. So now the fear in the therapist, well, we can't be careful. Just leave him alone. Don't let that be, you know, don't talk about any kind of change or getting out of that. Even if he feels guilty or bad for it, just leave him there and tell him it's okay, because you're not allowed to say anything else. Just a matter of time, isn't it? Such a small percentage of the population that's even involved in this, but they're speaking so loudly. And so committed. I wonder if we're as committed to praying and to voting and to looking at things and to really stepping it up and standing for Jesus Christ as they. If I look, I'd have to say, it's questionable. Listen, we've been given the right to vote. We're citizens, God allowing us this precious privilege. We better stand up. We better step it up. If you're not registered to vote, well, I'm just praying. That's good. You need to pray. You should do nothing before you first pray. But you know what? You need to participate. Him that knows to do the good thing, it's a good thing to vote, right? It's a good thing to pray for the leaders. It's a good thing to have godly leaders, because righteousness exalts a nation, and people that are in line with what God's Word says by way of definition of marriage and what's right and what's wrong, to support those that support the biblical values that we as Christians adhere to and hold. That doesn't mean we don't tolerate other opinions and views. It means that we need to stand for what we believe. And then, you know what? It's in God's hands. But if we don't do anything about it, to him that knows to do the good thing and does it not, to him it's what? Sin. Say it again, louder. Sin. For you not to be involved in praying and participating in the privilege that God has given you and me is clearly sin. May God help us to recognize the times that we are living and to stand, that we may continue to enjoy the precious privilege to preach the gospel and raise our children in the ways of the Lord. God, give us the courage. God, give us the care. God, get us out of our chairs and our couches and our apathy and indifference, and stir us up to do what's right and further his kingdom. And whatever days we have left, to bring him honor and glory. Let's pray.